This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs. And dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keogh are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer our questions about dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to talk with Jim and Carol, give us a call, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-WILL. Anywhere else, use the toll-free line, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. Good to see you.
It is so good to see you, Celeste. Yes.
Nice to see you, too. Always good to talk with you. So, what's coming up on the schedule for the dog training club or the shelter or anything else you'd like to talk about
you
here
start,
at the start?
Carol.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've turned over a new leaf. I'm going to be polite
we'll
to Carol.
We'll
see how long it
will. The last 15 minutes. Tomorrow is a fundraiser for the shelter called Muttstrut at Centennial Park in Champaign. Registration is at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 to 8:45. The walk begins at 9. It's a $25 registration fee, and for that you get a T-shirt, your dog gets a bandana, and you get a whole lot of fun. After the walk ends, which is around Centennial Park, and I think that's about a mile, there'll be fun and games and contests until 11. So it's going to be a great morning, nice, and
then
the weather's
you won't
going
have to be... any fun after 11.
No, that's it. Your fun to be had is tomorrow morning at Centennial Park.
It's 11 o'clock.
Fun's over.
Fun's over.
But it's a nice event, and we encourage everybody to come out. Oh, my gosh, we've got calls.
Yeah.
Encourage everybody to come. I must have said something wrong already, but...
No, you didn't. Let's go and take our first call this afternoon. A listener in Savoy on line one. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I'm picking up a 13-week-old Great Pyrenees pup from a breeder in Chicago or Barrington on Sunday.
Judy?
Mm-hmm. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know Judy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good dog?
You can't do better.
In
fact, when it comes to that breed.
Robin, who was on last week, grew up across the street from Judy.
I'm looking at a map to get up there right now. But my question is, down here in the Champaign-Urbana area, and I live in Monticello, are there any vets that you know of that specialize in or have great knowledge of Great Pyrenees, and any obedience trainers?
Us. Us,
we're
said
not vets,
modestly.
But
obedience trainers?
Oh, yeah.
We've got friends that have Pyrenees.
There are two.
Colleen has Pyrenees.
Colleen has Pyrenees.
Scott and Linda have Pyrenees.
Do they all share a common vet, or do they just go, because I have, you know, a vet for a Yorkshire Terrier, but I'm not sure if I should be maybe trying to find somebody with a little bit more Great Pyrenees.
The Yorkie and the Pyrenees, remember, they're both Canis familiarises. They have exactly the same problems and same medical. The Pyrenees tend to have a little more problems with their knees and their hips, obviously. So they have more orthopedic problems. But I don't think you need a vet specializing or with particular knowledge of Pyrenees or really any other breed.
Okay. And I occasionally tune into this show, but I've never taken down your number or how, you know, if you have a company name or...
Well, I can give the name, but I'm terrible at the phone number.
Okay.
It's the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
Oh, okay.
And Jim?
If you have access to the internet, mm-hmm. You can, all the information on training schedules and our phone number and
right.
Signing up is out. You can even sign up on the internet, can't you?
Yes, you can sign up
have
online.
Got that?
Did puppy
yeah.
kindergarten start?
It's been going for a while.
I'm not teaching this session. I guess that was a dead giveaway.
13 weeks. 13 weeks, I'm sorry. He might be a little old for puppy kindergarten by the time the next one rolls around, but we do have a puppy
elementary,
which I think
excellent class.
He'll fit in, and he'll be of a size in any event that he be. So there'll be a puppy type class for him, and
okay.
It's kind of, you know, they don't push the pups too hard. They introduce agility, they introduce obedience, but it's mostly for socialization.
Yes.
And you can go online and check that out.
Okay.
And we have a couple people in the training club. I think Michelle teaches something. I think agility. But there's other people with Pyrenees in the club.
Oh, we see Pyrenees in there. They're beautiful dogs.
And they're great.
Yep, we're looking forward to having them.
And you got a good one. Yeah. You'll have a good one.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
You're very
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Next, we talk with a listener in Indiana on line 4.
Hello.
Hi.
I have an elderly friend who has 2 dogs that she's going to have to do something with. The people who own the apartment complex have changed hands, and they have different opinions about pets. And she was told by a neighbor that if she would get a dog collar, that would probably stop the dogs from barking when somebody comes up to the door. And then she mentioned she was going to get them, I think she said neutered, and thought that one might help. And I wonder if that were true. And if it is, then I pass the information on to her. And if it's not, I want to, you know, have somebody that's knowledgeable so I can say, you know, so-and-so said this, and they know about dogs. So she won't spend the extra money, you know, foolishly. Thanks a lot.
When you say dog collar, you mean a shock collar?
I guess that's what it is. I really don't know. Okay. I have no animals. I just presumed it was something that would work by some kind of electrical thing. And, you know, it sounded sort of strange to me, but I don't know anything about it. But that's what she told me she was going to purchase and do the neutering.
There are collars that will shock the dog if they bark, and they're generally not approved by us.
There are collars.
There are collars that give off citronella, which is it'll keep the mosquitoes away. But
it works.
Yeah, and it's also kind of an unpleasant odor for the dog. All right, and it works generally on the same principle. If a dog barks with a shock collar, it sets off something, and the dog gets 1,000 volts in their neck.
Yeah.
The problem with that is the dogs become terrified. They're barking and suddenly they're in extreme pain.
And they don't know if they're being shocked for barking or because there's somebody at the door. They have a bad reaction.
The problem
to
with
it.
Punishment training is it's too general. You know, unless the dog can associate the punishment with what they're doing, it's kind of hard for them to figure out what not to do.
Yeah.
The citronella, as I said, it's an unpleasant odor. I've never used it.
I know people that have used it very successfully.
Yeah, so it's the same idea. The dog barks, it sets off a thing, and it squirts a little, essentially, insect repellent.
It's an aversive.
Yeah, and it's the same idea. It's a punishment. You know, you bark, you get a bad odor, but the dogs don't go nuts as much.
Yeah.
And
okay.
it seems to work. The other thing she can do is train them. How old are they?
That I really don't know. Unfortunately, I'm speaking from, pretty much ignorant.
Sure.
She's a person I just, we have luncheons together, our graduating high school class, and she just happened to show up, and that was part of the conversation. And I didn't carry it much further, and I started thinking about this collar, and I thought, that don't sound right. And your show came on, so I thought I'd jump on.
Yeah, the lawyer in me wants to take a look at her lease
to
see, just because the property changes hands doesn't mean the terms of the lease change.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, thanks a lot. This collar with this, the mosquito aversive.
It's citronella. If you get a hold of any dog or pet catalog.
Yeah.
Go online and look up citronella bark collar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's not something you can walk into one of the box stores and ask for, and you're going to get it.
No. I don't. You might.
I don't. Well, you might. What you will find. You'll find a plethora of shock collars.
Yeah.
But
it's harder to find the citronella collar.
Yeah, she shops Walmart. It's very close to where she
No, they wouldn't have a citronella collar.
I doubt if they would have it.
Most likely it's going to be a shock collar.
But you could try PetSmart or someplace like that.
Yeah, okay, but discourage her from a shock collar.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Other calls are invited. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. No one's waiting at the moment. Our guests this afternoon, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're here to answer questions about dog care, behavior, and training. And I think we can talk a little bit more about calendar items.
Can I talk about Be Kind Animals Week?
Absolutely not.
That starts on Sunday.
Oops, I'm sorry. Certainly you may.
Sunday is the Be Kind Animals Week, which has been around for a long time, and Muttstruck kind of kicks that whole thing off. But I had an email this week from a former coworker addressing a situation that a classmate of hers had witnessed. I don't know where these people lived, but the classmate of hers lived next door to a family that got a puppy, and they tied it up outside to a swing set and left it unattended and didn't give it food and water, so her family would take food and water. Eventually, and they left town frequently and didn't care for the dog, when the little puppy hung itself because he's always chained out. And now this family has adopted yet another puppy and emailed me and asking me, you know, what do we do? And I just, because you're familiar with, you know, working with a shelter, you assume that people know that there are people to help in those situations. And we have a humane investigator on staff, and that's what he does. And there are humane investigators throughout the state of Illinois that are licensed investigators. And Be Kind to Animals Week makes me think that if you see a situation that isn't right, that there are resources in your community that you can contact and get help. They don't go out and necessarily confiscate the animal. Often it's a need for education.
Yeah.
And most often it's a need for education. So
it's handled diplomatically at least,
yes,
in the beginning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You know, the welfare of the animal and the welfare of the family. Often people do things, surely, like this last call. Someone probably told her a shock collar would work, and not knowing how it works or the principles behind it, she may have purchased one and you know, felt terribly about the consequences of it. So, but there always is a resource in your community for cruelty investigations and humane education.
Okay, very good. Let's take another call. A listener on line 4 in Winnebago. Hi.
Hello. I got a compound problem. It's a behavior of both my two shelties and our bunny rabbit. And they all like to sleep on their back. And I wondered, what's the explanation of that?
I wouldn't regard that as a problem. Am I on?
Now you are.
Oh, because I was coughing. They turned me off. You know, always swallow coffee. Don't inhale it. We had two dogs. One passed away recently. Who got their companion dog titles, obedience titles, and on the long down, both these dogs, father and daughter, did the 3-minute down on their backs.
Oh,
they go down, roll over. And it was and Malamutes don't do a lot of obedience, so when we were at the national specialty and they're doing this,
that's embarrassing.
Well,
it's hilarious
for us. It was, but it brought people that ordinarily weren't interested in obedience over to the obedience ring to see these two dogs. They were both on the end, and both of them got their titles. You have to do that 3 times. You have to get 3 legs, and at each trial, they laid on their back. And the explanation is, I have no idea.
Oh.
I think they're more
comfortable.
They're more comfortable.
Andy sleeps on her back with all 4 legs up in the air and sound asleep.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know,
I can't explain the rabbit. That's
the rabbit. I can't either. But I think, to me, that indicates the dog is very confident, very comfortable, very, very happy where they are.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They're very vulnerable in that position.
That's correct.
Yeah, they're just exposing themselves.
They're just very happy.
Just come on.
Now, the rabbit, I don't know. I've never seen a rabbit sleep, come to think of it.
Well, no. In the snow, the Malamutes like to make snow dog angels. They get on their back and...
Do they?
Yeah, they roll around and...
Nice.
They don't look at all like angels.
They don't know they're making snow dog angels, though, sir. Clarify that for you.
Oh, that must be
I
nice.
Think, yeah. Well, and, you know, I think they're just scratching their back.
So you've got some contented animals there in Winnebago.
I suppose we do, but it's just a little upsetting to have bunch of animals lying upside down in the room.
Well, think how you must look to them then.
I guess so. Well, I'll take your word for it.
Well, get a picture of it and send it to us. We'll put it out on the net.
We'll put it on the website. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay,
very
take
much.
Care. Bye bye. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Who are we talking to here?
Well, I'm talking to Pat Larson.
No, it sounded like a dog.
I have the three dogs in the truck with me. We were driving to the dog park, and they saw a UPS truck. My question is, how do you get two three-and-a-half-year-old dogs to quit barking at cars or people walking by?
Well, they have good recognition abilities if they can recognize the
you
truck.
You mean when they're not in the car or when they're in
right.
the car?
They could be at home. In fact, we're visiting right now, and when cars drive by my daughter's house or someone walks by, they one of them in particular, they're both in the same litter, the Australian Shepherd Lab mix, just goes crazy barking.
Well, it takes some training. What's happening is somehow, and for some reason, the seeing a car, seeing something, which is generally something moving, triggers in the dog the response of barking. And barking, you know, dogs have, they don't have the rich language that we have. They have just a few things they can do. They can go arf or they can go rrr, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
So the car goes by, they start barking, which is absolutely natural. Usually it's I don't want to call it an alarm. It's just, hey, Mom, there's a car going by, you know, as if you didn't know. But they don't know, you know, they don't know that. So what you want to do is change. You're not going to be able to change the trigger, and the trigger is a car moving by. So you want to change your behavior. So go out on the front lawn where there are cars going by. Because having a car go by, you can't really control too well. You know, usually with training, you want to be in complete control of the situation. But that's one that you can't really be. But have a big hunk of liver or cookies or something like that, and just one dog at a time. When the when a car goes by and the dog wants to bark, call the dog's name, say come, have it come over to you and give it a cookie. All right?
Oh.
And what we're trying to do here is change the behavior, change what behavior is triggered by the trigger. So they see the car, and it'll take a little while, take a couple of days or maybe a week or two, depending on how stubborn the dog is. But the car goes by, and before they can even bark, you want to make sure they see the car. But before they can do anything, you call them over to you and give them a cookie. And in a short time, they'll say, every time I see a car go by, I run to Mom and she gives me a cookie.
Oh, great.
All right? And that will cut it down quite a bit. Obviously, if you're not home, they'll keep barking. You can do that in the house, too. But once again, it's hard to get friends to keep driving by your house so that you'll have cars going by. So you kind of have to rely on fate. But it's the same idea. And in the house, you can do one more thing, and that is put a rug down or someplace for the dog to run to. So same thing if they bark at people at the door. Whatever the trigger is, you have a friend knock on the door, call the dog over to the rug, give it a cookie, give it liver, whatever it likes. A toy with Australians, toys can be effective too.
Must be another UPS truck.
Yeah.
I was trying to stay away from people walking on sidewalks.
That was an unusual noise. maybe there are three noises a dog can make. But
well, that's great. That's
yeah,
great.
But the idea of this would work with, you know, anything where a dog sees something and misbehaves. If you can change their behavior, because you can't change the trigger.
Sure, wonderful. I'll give that a good try.
Mm-hmm. Have fun at the dog park.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Hello, panelists. I have two behavioral questions. My corgi chases its tail all the time.
Does it have a tail?
Yeah.
It must have a cardigan.
Cardigan.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I've heard that they do that out of boredom. Is that true?
I don't think so.
You know, dogs have been chasing their tails for eons, and I don't think anyone's ever figured out. Boredom, I think, can be a reason. I don't think it's
boredom and anxiety and stress.
I don't think anxiety, but it depends. They can be. I've seen dogs chase their tails when they're excited, just to have something to do. it's almost like you have to remember dogs, their mentality isn't exactly on our level. You might think of a two-year-old kid seeing Santa Claus. You know, they'll start hopping up and down and screaming and doing all kinds of what appear to the outsider to be random behaviors. But it's just because they're excited. And the dog is a little bit the same. They're not, you know, intellectual giants. And something happens that's exciting, and they're full of energy. They know they can't, you know, bark or bite or jump on somebody. So they run in a circle, they chase their tail, or they hop up and down. A lot of dogs will bark. So it can be excitement. It can be anxiety, but I can't remember ever seeing a dog.
I sometimes think they do it just because it's fun.
Yeah, it's
sometimes you just can't read too much stuff into these things, you know? It's just fun.
Yeah. But I wouldn't worry, you know, unless the dog is chasing its tail constantly. But try to notice when it chases its tail, and notice if it isn't kind of an exciting situation, and I mean exciting for the dog, like you coming home.
Yeah, right? A stimulus.
And that really excites the dog, and they run in a circle and chase their tail. But, you know, if you're sitting watching American Idol for an hour, the dog probably isn't chasing its tail.
We have another dog. We have a Cocker Spaniel for to play with, and I just don't understand why the infatuation with her tail.
Oh, I just found out who this is. I recognize his voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we know each other?
Yes, we do.
He's sorry that you know each other. That's terrible.
I thought that voice sounded familiar.
Well, the okay. What's
the Cocker Spaniel gave him away. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
I got another anxiety stress issue with my my corgi. When we haul her in the car, she gets excited. And when a car passes, and I've, you know, tried everything, including, you know, rewards and stuff to not bark and go crazy. Is this just something built into her, or is it, you know?
Oh, it's built into every dog. If you've tried everything, just put a blindfold on her.
Stop it, Jim.
Well, I mean, I've done everything but crate her.
Is this the cocker or the corgi?
This is my corgi.
Yeah, see, and the other dog was Australian Shepherd mix, and those are herding breeds. Mm-hmm, and so you've got breeds that do certain behaviors that other dogs won't.
And a lot of their herding involves
barking.
Especially if they're herding cattle, as opposed to which the corgis do, as opposed to sheep, which the border collies do, or the Australians. The other thing you can try is if you have a car, and you said crater, and that's about.
I don't want to, but you know, it gets pretty bad.
If you can keep, it's a bad idea to have dogs loose in the car anyway. But if you. For safety reasons, yours and theirs. But if you can keep the dog, obviously keep the dog low so it can't see out the window. I don't know how you'd do that. Put a tie a brick to it or something.
Minivan.
Movement is a trigger for a lot of dogs to start barking. And all they're doing is letting you know that there's something there. You can try saying thank you. I know it's a thing, you know, now please be quiet, so that they know that you're aware of the danger.
And let's go back to teaching them to bark in the first place, to speak on command, because you're fond of that theory.
Yeah.
Teaching them to speak on command, and then you have a word for stop and cease.
Yeah. Most people think they're training a dog if the dog does something bad and they yell at it. You know, that's not dog training. To get a dog to stop doing something, they have to understand what you want them to stop doing. And if it's barking, you can't just say shut up to them because shut up doesn't mean anything to them. So if you teach them to speak on command, you can teach them to talk, and then you can teach them a word that means stop. And so if they start barking, you can give them the stop command. But you can't just, you know, pop them on the head or reward them. They don't know why they're being rewarded.
You guys should give parenting lessons too.
we'd
be good at that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Put the kid in a crate and
oh my.
No?
Three panelists, not a child between us.
I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests this afternoon are dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions about dog care, behavior, training. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. My mom had trained a dog, you know, bark and no bark. And it was so funny when the dog got that no bark, the dog would kind of like open her mouth like.
Get that last word in?
Yeah.
I had friends that taught their dog to whisper. They would use the word whisper
really?
And her bark would.
Calm down.
Yeah, oh. Diminish to almost nothing. I'll have to ask one day how they did it. I thought it was pretty clever.
I think it would be funny to say use inside voice. Inside voice, and the dog shuts up, you know.
Let's talk with another listener. Next call in Urbana, listener in Urbana, line one, hi.
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 I have a older dog. She's 10, and I'm embarrassed to say I haven't brought her to a lot of obedience classes, but she's a good dog. And the thing that I wanted to ask you all about was when we go to the vet, she gets really anxious and hyper and is kind of hard to control. And I don't know how to sort of help this problem because I feel like I need to take her indoors somewhere to, you know, sort of practice how to not go crazy indoors, you know, indoors, not in our home.
Where do you take her besides the vet?
Well, nowhere really, because she gets crazy.
Well, uh-huh. See, therein lies your problem.
Yeah, it's not hard to train a dog to not want to get in the car. All you have to do is take him to the vet every time you take him in the car.
Uh-huh. It'd be like taking a kid to the doctor every time you left your house.
Or every time, well, you get the point. Put the dog in the car and drive around the block and let her out and give her a cookie. And then put the dog in the car and, you know, drive around two blocks and give her a cookie. Just so she gets the idea eventually. Or if you're going somewhere where you can take a dog, you know, take her to the park or something.
She loves the car. The car is not the problem. It's when we get inside the vet.
What? Take her to the vet's office and ask the staff to greet you at the door, give her a cookie, and leave.
Oh.
Okay. I had one of mine had a weight issue. So we were going in to weigh him.
Dog was fat.
Yeah, well, he had a weight issue, please.
I'm sorry.
I don't like the word fat.
Okay.
So we would go to the vet to weigh him. And he never had terrible anxieties about the vet. He loved going, but it was just, you know, the repetition of going in and getting on the scale. And then he got cookies, and he was so handsome. And then we'd leave, and he loves going to the vet's office.
Oh.
So, and, you know, and they would be very amenable to working with you because they, you know, it makes it easier for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What does she go to the vet for?
Well, she's older now, so she knows various little things.
Okay.
She's got arthritis and, you know, little checkups and stuff.
Take her to the vet and then go to one of the, all of our pet food stores, I think all of them, except dogs. So go to the vet and then get back in the car and go to one of the pet food stores and just make it a little outing. It will take a while, but I think it'll help.
Okay. Well, cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And Robbie's not fat anymore.
I didn't say he was.
You said he was obese. I heard you. I heard him.
Did not.
Next caller, line two. Champaign, hi.
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 We have a 10-year-old miniature dachshund who's just an awesome dog, but she licks sometimes just sort of uncontrollably and not herself, but she'll just lick, and whatever she's licking, you can put something else under her, and she'll just keep licking, and you can pull it away and put your hand there, and she'll lick, and she'll do that for about 5 or 7 minutes, and then she stops and goes to sleep. And it's kind of a problem because, like, if she's on the bed, she'll lick the sheets, and then the sheets will be wet from where she was licking, and you don't want to sleep on that.
The only
she's
thing
just
I,
a little dachshund.
What's that?
How
she's
much
just
damage
a
can a little dachshund do? Boy, if Amalmute did that.
You'd be, after 5 minutes, quite a bit, you'd be surprised.
The noise gets annoying, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you'll say stop, and usually what I do, like if she's on the bed, I'll just stick my foot there and let her lick my foot, you know, until she's done or something like that.
How old is she?
She's 10, and she's always done this.
It could be like a Well, what am I doing while I'm sitting here? You see what I'm doing?
I'm picking on my finger.
This is a chronic habit of mine, and my hands always look awful. But it's a habit.
It's a calming. Does it calm you?
I guess. I even have wounds that can't be very calming, but it's a calming thing, and I think that's what the dog must be doing.
If she's been doing it a long time, some of my theories go out the window. But we have there's a thing called the lick granuloma where a dog will lick itself. And, you know, their tongues are pretty harsh and can take the coat right off, the hair right off, and start taking off layers of skin. And we've got a dog doing that right now. He was in the vets a couple months ago, and, you know, they shaved the area to put the IVs in, and now he just keeps licking that. That's not what you have.
No.
Sounds to me either that this is a habit the puppy picked up when she was very young, and or there's a medical problem. It may be that her tongue, I'm going to say itches. That sounds strange, but
it's irritated or something.
And
allergies.
Yeah, an allergy, something.
But
like that.
She's done this all the time, and she only does it for 5 to 7 minutes.
It seems to be at really specific times.
Yeah,
Before we go to sleep or. If I'm sleeping in on the weekend and my husband brings her back up and puts her on the bed, she'll lick the sheets before she calms down. So it seems to be very specific.
I think that sounds so funny to me.
I know. But she just sits there licking the sheets.
I think it's just a calming thing for her. I mean, not that she's stressed or anxious. It's just
offer her cookies or anything to get her to stop?
Instead of that, we've tried distracting her, sort of like... You know, when she's licking, we ask her to stop, and just listening to you talking about the barking and no barking, she doesn't really know what we're asking her to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried distracting her, giving her treats, and then she eats her treats and goes back to licking. And
I'd live with it. I know that sounds so callous, but she's going to look at her watch. She's going to say, "No, I have 4 minutes left to lick until my 7 minutes are up."
Other than the fact that, you'll put her up on the kids' beds and it's like, Sophie, stop licking, because she makes the sheets wet, and then they stink the next day from where she was licking.
Get a sheet that you don't care much about or a blanket.
Oh, that's an idea.
Infuse it with liver.
Liver spray?
Yeah.
Where can I pick that up?
Yeah, PetSmart has liver spray.
She could spray bitter apple on things if she doesn't want her to lick.
Yeah.
She's 10 years old. She's done this for so long.
Do you know what bitter apple is?
Yeah, we've got some from when she was a puppy.
Okay, well, you've tried that. I figured, but get something, and if she starts to lick what you don't want her to lick, give her that and something,
I would just live with it.
Well, I can understand, getting in bed with a big wet spot. I do that almost every night.
Why does that remark not surprise me?
No. But, if we had dogs doing that, they're probably 20 times bigger than this dog.
And
it would be a mess.
Well, they brush their teeth, and so, it's kind of yucky sometimes, too, so...
Well, what concerns me more is that tongues are very harsh, and she could start swallowing things she shouldn't be swallowing, and that can be a problem. But obviously, after 10 years, But I'd give her an alternate thing to lick.
She uses her foot.
Well, and sometimes it starts with, she's licking her foot or something like that. But like I said, I'll give her my hand to lick, and then I just go wash my hand when we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing about shoes, of course, is there's tanning chemicals in leather.
Maybe
she was going after the salts left over in the detergent or something. No.
I think this is just a bad habit she's gotten into. I don't think she's seeking anything.
Okay.
Unless she has a medical problem or an allergy and her tongue is irritated and this kind of...
But then you'd think she'd do it all the time.
That's correct. Not for 5 to 7 minutes at certain intervals.
No, I wouldn't. It could be like a cycle of after she eats, whatever the endorphins go up in your brain or whatever it is. It could be cyclic.
It's a pattern, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you then.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana. Line 3, hi.
Hi, I have a question about... I have a 4-year-old dog that likes to chase cats in the... Otherwise, when you take it out for a run off the leash and it wants, runs across something else, a possum or something, it wants to chase them out. Is there a good way to convince them that they shouldn't be bothering them?
The thing to do, especially if you're running, is don't take them off the leash. to train a dog not to chase a cat or any furry creature, you can do it. It would take a very long time, and you'd have to have furry creatures, you know, to use to train the dog. And I'm not sure you could be very successful. You're dealing with such a basic instinct that if you're running, just get a long rope or something like that and let the dog, or a flexi lead.
I could never let Andy off lead. If she saw a rabbit, she'd be gone. And it wouldn't matter how well trained she was.
Exactly. That was the point I was going to get to. Even if you've trained the dog not to do it, sooner or later, it's going to see something that's so tempting, it's going to run out in the street and get hit. So the key there is just don't let the dog loose. And you can never guarantee that there isn't another dog loose that sees your dog as something moving and wants to attack it. So I'd say restraint is probably the best thing.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. Let's take another listener in Dewey, line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Do you have any insight into cat behavior?
Only if they're running away from a dog.
No. These are inside cats. One of the cats likes to, if there's a pan of water for the cat to drink, he likes to hit the water and
with his paw?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just playing.
So what's the problem?
Yeah. Well, the floor's all wet.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Put a tray underneath the water dish.
Yeah, that's what we've got.
Or a deeper dish.
And it seems to be if we put like an inch or less in there and just make sure that there's some there, but if we get it too full, then it's, I don't know.
It's entertaining.
Entertaining.
It is. That's why they do it. It's entertaining.
I was at Wolf Park years ago, and they have. I was in with the wolves for some reason. They've got a big like a horse trough, and one of the wolves got into it. I mean, all four paws.
Oh my!
And just as if he was digging a hole in the water, just pawing it, boom, 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 and none of the other wolves did it. And I'm at a total loss as to why this wolf did it, but. It seemed to be fun. He seemed to be enjoying
they're playful.
Himself. And probably that's what a lot of cats eschew water. So this is kind of unusual.
Mine liked water. Shelley liked water.
I've had other cats who like water, but never a cat who liked to slap the water out of the bowl. But
a lot of dogs, cats will learn these behaviors, inadvertently, and then. Later you come in and they say, why does the dog do this? And you go, well, I'd have to be there when it was learning how to do it to tell you why. But
it's just fun.
It just learned how to do it, and it's fun or it satisfies something. And I think the cat, learned how to do it and for some reason, and now it's amusing for the cat.
Okay.
Not for you because you have to clean up. But
it's not the worst thing that could happen.
No.
Yeah. And I would have no idea how to get it to stop. Cats are not like dogs.
No. There's not. I just tried moving it so the light wouldn't reflect off of it, and haven't had much success moving it around, moving the bowl around. But
you might put some ice in it. That'd
be really fun to slap around.
Well, it would be, but it would cut down on the splashing.
Oh. Okay.
Until it melted, of course.
It must be some physics theory or something.
I don't know.
No, it'll hit the ice and it won't splash as much.
Kitty water park and
sure.
Have a good time.
Put a the towel under it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Sell tickets. Have people come in and.
You only have to watch Animal Planet's Animals Funnies videos or whatever that show is. There's a lot of animals with idiosyncrasies that are very entertaining. So,
And I look at them and I say the same thing folks do. I go, how did that dog learn to do that? where did that come from?
Let's take another call. Listener in Champaign, on line two. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
My family dog is, I think we've confirmed she's, like a fox terrier mix or something. She closely approximates a fox terrier. And she's about, I want to say, 11 or 12 years old now, and I no longer live at home, but my parents have been talking about she's starting to go deaf. And for the most part, she's accommodating this by inserting herself into places in the house so she can always see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this usually lends to her ending up underfoot, and, you know, just getting in the way and being kicked. And, you know, she pulls her bed out into the middle of the hallway or into the middle of the kitchen so that she can just kind of be in the middle of things. But aside from that, I was wondering, one, if you have any strategies to kind of deal with dogs that are going deaf, and two, I own a cat, and I don't live at home anymore, but I do have the occasion sometimes to go home for extended periods of time. And I did bring my cat once for a month, and this is where the deafness came in handy, because she could not hear the cat, thankfully, but it was a horrible experience. The cat didn't mind, but she had a huge problem with it. And I'm just wondering if, because I know she's old and she's a terrier, if there's anything, you know, again, strategies for having them get along, at least having her get along with the cat being in the house.
Probably not.
Never. I mean, she's too old. She doesn't, it's not going to happen.
You're not there. Okay. You're not there enough, you know, long enough to, you could start to train the dog, but then you leave. So restraint is, once again, probably a good idea. Train your cat to go into a little cat crate. And,
okay.
You know, you can make it a big one so that it has plenty of, you know, not a travel crate, but just a crate for the cat to stay in when you're at place. And if you're at a, let's say, at a hotel or motel, you don't want the cat wandering all over. So it's a handy thing to train any animal to get used to that kind of thing. As for the dog, I assume your folks have checked out, you know, taken her to the vet. 10 is a little young to start losing their hearing, especially for a
small breed,
small dog.
They according to the vet, I mean, it's the same thing. She doesn't respond. You know, before when you said her name, at least, you know, she would turn and look at you, but she doesn't at all anymore. Things like that, and doesn't hear cars pull up and. Mm-hmm. She is. We're guessing she's around 11 or 12 because when we got her, they thought. Okay. She was.
Oh, she's probably older.
Yeah, she's probably a little older than.
She could be.
Yeah. Don't have your parents not move their furniture, and you know it's
she's
like,
deaf, not blind.
Well, I know, but just they like things where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And if you know, it's another idiosyncrasy type thing that she drags her bed out. Look how smart she is.
Yeah, I'm,
you know, she
I'm
drags
impressed.
Her bed out to where she can mm-hmm. be around people. And I think that Jim and I and Celeste, we've all been had old animals. You have to be especially considerate of them when they only have a bit of time left with you.
Yeah,
and
right.
if they're underfoot, then so be it.
Leslie, the dog I mentioned at the beginning, who was on her back for the downs, she was deaf at the end. And we just had to keep a little bit extra eye on her because you could call her and she wouldn't mm-hmm. come.
Tracy but, lost her hearing.
Yeah, but she was in such a routine that, and plus she had other dogs. And your folks might want to consider that because the Leslie, if we called, Leslie wouldn't hear, but she'd see the other dogs coming back to the back door, and she'd just follow them. So it wasn't a behavioral problem so much. And if
yeah, my parents have been stomping and clapping and things like that.
They can't. She can't hear that.
Yeah, it's better
stomping,
to do,
yes, but the clapping, no.
She might feel the floor as it stomps. But they might consider, you know, if they like dogs, getting a younger dog and.
On the other hand, wouldn't the dog that they have its nose out of joint?
Depends on the dog. I wouldn't recommend another dog necessarily.
I always recommend.
I know you do. But when they get to that point in their life, then I think they deserve.
My parents are kind of older, too, and they you know, so I don't know how much they would enjoy taking care of another dog. Cause, you know, like
you've got to consider them, too. Sorry we couldn't be much help.
Oh, well, thank you anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
That is amazing. What a smart dog. Pull its bed out into the.
Oh, I know. That's so smart.
I think that's very impressive.
That is very cool. You
know? Yeah, that's impressive.
And you were going to say something?
I want to wish my mother a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday to Carol's mom.
I kept looking at Carol thinking, we've had many references to moms all the way through. I'm thinking, Carol, mom.
Yeah. She's in Florida live streaming.
And why don't we wish everybody, all the moms, a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, happy Mother's Day the 13th.
It's coming up. Okay, very good. And Bark in the Park is tomorrow.
Mutt Strutt.
Oh, sorry.
Same principle.
Okay.
Different rhyme.
Be kind to animals.
And we didn't get to do this. What's our first next event that we could cover real quick?
Well, we have obedience coming up in June 9th and 10th. We have an ADPT rally obedience on the 19th of May, 19th and 20th, out at the building.
Okay. And Muttstrut is at Centennial Park. And it begins at?
Registration's at 8 o'clock.
And the fun ends at 11.
Yeah, that's the end of it for okay. everybody. Tomorrow at 11.
All right. Well, have a fun-filled hour.
Thank you.
Fun-filled morning there. And that wraps it up for this month with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs.